The sermon you are about to hear is incomplete and of low audio quality. Every attempt has been made to locate a higher quality recording. However, this is the most complete message we can offer. We hope that the message you are about to hear will be a blessing to you.
As usual, it's happy to be here. That is the truth. No matter how tired I ever get to be, I still am very happy to be here. And we're to serve the Lord. It's quite a little different than our crowd tonight. It was last night. It was a long day. Yesterday was a very long day. And, of course, that was. People were tired and worn for the night. And now we're starting another week, which is the longest service that I have ever held in my life. And I trust that it'll prove out to be a great blessing to all. I'm just about as tired as I ever was in my life. It would seemingly that that wouldn't make you tired. But if I would just give you some little inside picture that you might know what I mean. Those visions, that's what weakens people. The supernatural working on a natural man. Someone met me and tell me about that picture. Said, "Brother Brian, that don't look like you." I said, "Well, if that was saying, if the angel of God was that close to you as it was, it probably does change you." Now think of being under that constantly, day in and out. Then I had to get out somewhere and give vent to myself. That's why you just get so weak you can't hardly go. It looks like your strength is just gone. And then another thing, when you're in a meeting like this, a mass meeting, and people are praying, that affects me no matter where I am. It affects you. The angel of the Lord is a moving, you see, and pulling on you constantly. Might seem strange, maybe a little different from your teaching, but we can only testify what is truth. Truth. And now, I hope to get to return again sometime to Cleveland up here to have a meeting when we can come back here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I will try. I feel that it's greatly needed here at Cleveland. If I should come back again, it'll be better. It'll be easier to start then. This is kind of pioneering. Looked like everybody was bypassing Cleveland, leaving it go. But seemingly something told me to come to Cleveland. Here's where it was to come. Said, "Well, Cleveland is, well, the most of the people there belong to these kind of churches and that. But no matter what they belong to, all of us is to hear the gospel and to see those who struggle for the cause." I was sent to those people, those men who withered the storm. And they taught these things and believed that and looked forward for it to come. Now if it's come, it's to all of us, everyone. And I was talking to a minister friend of mine today from Del Rio. Me and another minister just flew in here. There are planes sitting down here at the coast now in the little hangar down there. So I said, "Well, our crowd hasn't been very big, but it's been one of the sweetest meetings I've ever in. Just seen such a harmony among the people, the ministers, everybody, one heart, one accord." My brother Lindsay told me, "Could you just stay a few more extra days?" I wanted to do it because I'm looking for something to happen that I prayed for and seen it one time in my life. That's for an entire congregation to be healed at once. Everything healed just at once. And it looks like with such unity and such cooperation in the Spirit that this could happen. And as the meetings begin to draw towards a close, the anticipation of the people, they know they must press some way. And they'll just reach out and accept it just on the ground. And usually the last night of the service usually produces better than all the service. Because it's the last night and people say, well, this is my last chance. I've got to reach. And all they have to do is just make a reach. It's there. Just as sure as God's there, it's there. And they'll find it, but they're just a little afraid to step out, you see. And then I want the ministers of the congregation to remember this. The ministers, brethren, there'll be people in your churches that's been crippled that you'll notice they're going to start walking. There'll be people there that's been sick that'll walk up and say, brother, pastor, I had stomach trouble. I didn't get in the prayer line, but you know, that's left me. See? And I'm standing here on the platform, you can just feel it pull and then let up. It's over, see? They may not recognize it, but it is, see? Just watch what happens. Got to. If they'll just halfway believe it, it'll be right. And now, do this. Since last evening, I've had very much of a tussle and praying over a matter that God has been dealing with me on something, and that is about such a miraculous amount of faith in here and can touch just such a few people each night. That's one thing that's always bothered me. Now, there's no newcomers. You've all been to meetings before, have you? Let's see how many has been here before. Raise your hands everywhere. About practically. That's fine. Now, you understand the meeting and how many of you have been here for a long time. And many of you have been sitting here waiting to be prayed for. I heard today that one man had received many prayer cards and never had got into the prayer line yet. He's been up almost the prayer bench and some of our fellows is very sick. We have no control of that. God alone does it. Maybe the man's faith is just not right yet. But if you believe with all his heart, it'll be all right anyhow. And what I've always wondered, could I minister to all the sick? That's what's been my heart's desire. I tried it, I told you one time, stayed at the pulpit for 8 days and nights. Couldn't get more, thousands and thousands more at any of the 8 days. Well, I never left the platform. I slept here, eat here, and everything. I had the pulpit for 8 days and nights. I did. I've taken about an 8-month vacation after that. I had, in other words, I couldn't get out. I was just in a nervous break. They just like to kill me. So then I knew then that I must use a little more wisdom than what I had. Jesus never even tried to touch the people like that. Is that right? Let's just get right down to our hearts, and I want to tell you something. And we want to talk just for a few moments, just heart to heart. I'm realized, and you realize too, in ministers, that a man can take a divine gift and send his soul to hell with it. You know that? A gift from God. Now, I don't mean it's something that you imagine. I mean if God has really given something and given it to your charge, you've got to use that with the wisdom of God. Now, I've never in my life talked to a congregation like this, especially a congregation of healing and something. But the thing that I want to see, I want it so bad, and that's the reason I'm talking to you the way I am. Now, remember, divine gifts can easily get a person into trouble. That God, if he finds someone that he figures that he could entrust the divine gift with, we should reverence with all of our hearts. I remember, how many believe Moses was a divine gifted prophet of God? He was. Everyone believed that. But Moses, with that same divine gift, got himself in trouble. Did he? God told him, said, you go speak to the rock. He'd already smitten the rock, wanted to go speak to the rock. And that rock was Christ, is that right? And Christ wasn't smitten the second time. We just speak to him that one. He was smitten once. And he brought forth the waters of life. And we just speak to the rock now, and it brings forth the waters. Like God so loved the world. The rock in the wilderness is the perfect of John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those Israelites were perishing, and the rock was smitten and brought forth life, water. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes on him should not perish, a perishing generation of people. Should not perish, but have everlasting life by speaking to the rock. But Moses went down there and smote the rock. He got angry. He forgot all of his, he lost control of himself. Got all worked up and excited because of the people, and he just smote the rock again, and it didn't bring its water, but he smote it again. Is that right? Now, he was a divine prophet, sent from the presence of God, born in this world to be a prophet, a vindicated prophet. The signs and wonders, the pillar of fire followed him. And we know that he was a prophet sent from God, and God had entrusted him with that power. And as far as I know, Bible readers, I'm not much of a scholar, because I never got but just a grammar school education, seventh grade at that. Look, but here, the only place that I can see in the Bible where the program of God was ever broke, and all the types, was right there. When Moses spoke the rock the second time to bring out the water, regardless if it wasn't God's will, we know it wasn't God's will, we'll admit that, don't we? But Moses had power to bring it, whether it was God's will or not. That's true. We know it was against God's will, but God had entrusted his servant with that power, and he spoke the rock, and he didn't come back for his water. Sure, it wasn't God's will, and he smote it again. He called for it. It had to come. His prophet. He was endowed with that power. He brought forth water, and it was against God's will. God dealt with Moses later about that. Is that right? You remember Elijah? Young fellow went bald-headed when he was young. The little children began to holler and said, old bald-head, why did you grow up with Elijah? Remember that? That angry prophet now turned around angry and cursed those children in the name of the Lord, and two bears went out of the woods and killed 42 women and children. Is that right? That's not the nature of the Holy Spirit. You know that. But that prophet was angry. You have to be careful what you say. Therefore, when people come up here for you, I'm watching it. And I see you sometimes run up here with a divine gift. You just examine that case perfectly, right through. And if something didn't put on that person, a person sickness, sometimes it happens that way. Sickness sometimes is disease and affliction. It's God's whip bringing people back to the past. You've got to find them. All right. Not every time it's like that. Remember the boy at the gate? He said, who's he or his father or his mother? Remember that? Jesus said, in this case, here, that's the work of God. Now you have to know those things. That's why on each case I examine it real closely. I know right where I'm standing. Now if I ask once it does leak, then I'll check both. And if I don't see nothing, I'll leave it alone. So God showed me what to do. I have to watch that. Because there might be something put on that person. God intended to be there to bring them to a certain thing. And you come right back around and take that thing off what God put on before you stand before God. And if God's induced you for something to do something with, you have to watch. Therefore, brothers, the divine gift. I have said this. Many of my managers and things know this is true. I went to, when I first started, I was so elated with it that I would go into the city and call a meeting. I'd say, you go to the city and bring me, let the ministers or somebody, bring me somebody that they know is crippled or afflicted. Let me have that person. And I'll assure you, that person will be healed for some food. And I make challenges like that. I went in a meeting one time. I made a challenge. They brought a little crippled Mexican girl. Oh, she was horrible. An hour and 45 minutes, I had that child on the platform. Just held it, stayed right with it, bled to let God let the baby loose. The baby come loose, went around, walked down off the platform. Walked down, come back. Now remember, it's Vandalia, Illinois, where I've seen one of the greatest tours I ever seen. I said that same thing. I said, you go get a person, bring them to me. They did. A boy brought born blind. About 16 years old. I stayed right with the boy. Stayed right there until that boy received his sight. And as you did that, taking the time where hundreds are setting to be prayed for, but put all the time on that one ball. And as I heard him screaming, and he come back, he was wandering through the crowd. He got back, he said, I told my mother that I wanted to see what the man looked like that opened my eyes. I said, I hope you see something. The Lord Jesus Christ. So he took him home last night. I said, Mother, I had on stripe at time. He said, is that the color? Is that the same through there? Is that what you call stripe? All of them crying. He said, now what color would you call it? He said, that's what they call right up there. Born blind, never seen his life. While people were fainting in heaven. I went to the hotel that night. My brother Don, my little son, Billy. They went to the hotel. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was lying down sleeping. Just went to sleep, which I don't sleep very much at night. Always fresh. Nighttime, all demon power is shut down towards morning. They're not rolling. That's the time the Holy Spirit moves in and talks to you. Going early, you want to pray. Rise up early. Hold all the rain workers are gone. Demons and places are closing up. And that causes the strain there. You know what I mean by that. Notice. I was laying there, I woke, waking up all at once. Now look, I thought, my, it's daylight already. I said, look there, daylight there. Look out, I thought, wait a minute, the wind is back here, that's the side of the wall. And I looked again, it was a white cloud, milking, that's it. I said, oh, I see it. There's the angel of the Lord coming in the room. Many times demons have followed me again. I felt the pressure of them and the bells thing went on at me half the night here. And I got out of bed and I knelt down. I noted the spirit, but I had to find out just what it was first. And I kept waiting. I felt it come around the bed. You can feel it. I said, I'm talking to you from my heart. It's just like I do not feel it now. Sometimes I feel it. It's standing right over here. I can tell it. It's standing right down here. You can tell it. It's just like a pressure in the air that's against you. Like that, you can feel it. Then when it comes close, when a patient comes up to you, pray for you, you feel it. It blows down over you. Then you don't talk to yourself. You can be still. It doesn't talk. You talk to yourself. Then it'll let up. And then maybe you stop. You feel it coming back again. And watch. I see a patient stand here right in there. Goes like above. And I can see the things you hear them tell. You heard them told of everything they've done in their life. Is that right? Heard them even repeat the prayer over what they said to God. Isn't that right? And all kinds of sins and things that they've done revealed. It's been perfect every time. Is that right? Never fake it. What does that? I just talking just exactly what I'm taking place. Just what I see and what I say. Sometimes I look out over the audience. I can feel something for me. I watch real close. Then it cuts off. There's somebody else on the other side. Maybe this way and that way. Maybe I can be real quiet and sing aloud a certain person where there's certain things. If I get that channel, it looks like I get the rest of them somewhere else, not listening or looking on, then it'll start, the vision rise up and start like that. And now, when I looked at seeing that, I got down on the floor and started praying. And as it got closer, I knew it was the angel of God, and I could feel what it was. And I said, what does the Lord want me to do? Never said a thing. Just a long time standing right here before the bed, and I was eating myself. And I said, oh, Heavenly Father, what have you sent your angel to your servant for? And I said, your servant is risen. I waited. I knew it was still there, but I didn't open my eyes. Waited. I guess 5 minutes passed. I felt it moving closer to me. And when it did, I just heard that voice sound like way back. I could not impersonate the voice if I had to. But I heard it just as plain as audible as my voice is to you, that you're confining too much of that gift of healing to perform the miracle. It will come to pass that people will not believe you unless there's a miracle performed. I said, I shall never do that again. Lord, help me, God. I raised up. I laid down a little bit, and there it was, above the bed, sniffing around, like a whole lot of color and a rainbow sniffing around. And I looked at it. I laid there a little while. I felt relieved, felt that my sin was forgiven me. And I said, if my Lord hears my little boy, to you, nothing made any noise. We had just clean faith. We had to, ever, places taken up for miles around. And my own, we had twin beds in the room. My brother and my little boy were sleeping on the bed next to him. And I said, Billy? Billy. He didn't answer. I said, Donnie? He didn't answer. And I took my pillow, watching the man. And I knew by not answering, I knew it was all right. He never said yet. And I threw my pillow like that, and it hit my brother, Donnie. And I said, Donnie? He said, yes. And I said, call Billy. And Billy said, Donnie said, Billy, your dad, won't you? Just then, I said, Billy, look. He looked, said, what do you want, Daddy? About that time, Donnie jumped out of the bed, screamed, oh! And Billy said, oh, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He jumped out of the bed and jumped over. He said, don't let that get me. Don't let that get me. And I said, honey, that won't hurt you. I said, many times, I was single 5 years, and I've been father and mother both doing. I used to pack these little bottles of milk in my pocket at night, and I'd lay it under my head to keep it warm, so I'd give it to him at night. Mother died, he was only 8 months old, and I just had to raise me. Then both father and mother, I said, many times I'm going to be special flying. He said, Daddy, I'm so afraid you're going to go in and never come back to me again. I said, no, honey, I'll be back. I said, now, honey, that's the reason Daddy goes. That's the angel of the Lord that leads Daddy. He's just in a room talking to me. And I asked him, if you can see, so you won't worry about Daddy and know that that's the angel that leads Daddy. That's what the pillar felt like. That's mingling with colors, licking and swapping, witnessing what's going on. Donnie, he just don't talk about the same other brother. And it filled around like that one. And I did. Then he told me, now I want to get to you people something here. If I believe that you people sleeping will listen and will eat. You know, many of you get the wrong conception of divine healing. Now this is not a gift to perform miracles. Miracles is a separate and different gift from healing. Did you know that? The Bible says, do all have the gift of healing? Do all have the gift of miracles? But miracles are performed. That's right. It's a miracle every time somebody, a vision happens and tells people what's wrong with them. That's a miracle. It's supernatural. That's a miracle. But healing, now look, when Isaiah went up to heal Hezekiah, do you believe God sent him up there? Do you believe where every person is going to die, that he's house in order? Well then, when Isaiah went up and pronounced him to be healed, it was even 3 days before Hezekiah could gain enough strength to come down off his bed and go to the house of God for worship. Is that right? And when Jesus pronounced the Roman, the centurion's son healed, he said, from that same hour he began to amend. If you had a cut on your hand, you've done everything. Nothing except any worse. After a while you cut something on your hand, it began to help it. It didn't well. And when the curse of sickness is taken off of you, not every time it's a miracle. Not sometimes, it just happens spontaneously. Sometimes the curse is just gone, and the cure follows. Now listen real close so you can be sure. There's hardly a time that within the space of 72 hours after a healing has taken place, until Satan's right back to the place again. That's the Bible. When the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks in dry places. Then he returns with him with 7 other demons worse than he was. Is that right? You know what he goes on. If the good man of the house isn't there to hold him off, faith to believe. Now, I want you to listen closely to my commission. God knows I want this to happen. I'm weak. I dread to say that. But, Brent, do you realize I'm facing human power? And I must live right and do right. And I must be truthful. I don't care if the newspapers tell they had to drag me out. That don't make any, that don't stop it from being truth. That's truth. But when they lie about it, that's the lie. But when it's the truth, it's the truth. Now, I wish I didn't get weak. But I can't help it. My strength just goes right away from me. I can't help it. Now, I wondered why it was it always makes me so swimming. And a few days ago, I was reading in the Bible of Daniel. After he had those visions, he said he was troubled in his head for many days. You remember that? Daniel. Then that gave me consolation again to help me to see that when mortal beings, when the supernatural comes upon the mortal being, It causes a conflict with the flesh. That's right. It weakens the human being, though. Even Christ, laying on the back of a boat, in those terrible waves, didn't even so much virtue had gone out of him. So them terrible waves didn't even wake him up. Isn't that right? But when awakened, then he stilled the waves. Now, see, the human part went away, went out. Virtue went out while the supernatural worked. And Jesus, in many cases, went into a city and healed one person and left the city. Lead a man outside the city gate, restore his sight to him, and go on somewhere else. Went into the land of Gadara, healed one, for they start to But then he did heal all that come to him one time to fulfill which is spoken of the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities for that. And Jesus said that he could do nothing at all until first the Father showed him. Is that right? St. John, when he passed by that pool of Bethesda. Now, let these words change meaning now. When Jesus passed by the pool of Bethesda, there lay great multitudes of people that had been laying there. They, now watch the kind of condition they were in. Lame, halt, blind, crippled, withered, is that right? Waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel came down at a certain season and troubled the water. And the first one with faith stepping in was healed of whatever disease he had. Someone said to me, when there's been at least five paralyzed people, leave this village here, it's been sitting here paralyzed. It's a I go down and tell those paralyzed people so we can believe. Brother, you would believe it right yourself. That's right. I can do nothing at all. God gets all glory for I can do nothing. I can only do what he tells me to do. If you worked in a bank where plenty of money was, but you can only take out what they'll let you take out. Is that right? I may be in fellowship with God for all the power to heal every person in the world. That is true. But I can only do what he says do. And it's not me that does the healing. It's your own faith that contacts God and heals you. And he speaks through his gift and tells you you're healed. See what I mean? You get that? I have nothing to do with the healing. I'm just a mouthpiece for your prayer to God. See? If your prayer has reached God and he's told me that you're healed, then I believe it, and I speak it to you. You believe it, then you're healed. Now notice, no matter what the symptoms are now, you believe it. Now watch when he met me. Let me quote this for the last time. This time. When he came to me in the room, imagine yourself now sitting in the room. Wife, came along since 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Been praying to know why I couldn't let me go back home. The little cabin way in the hills. Looking around, dark, mile and a half from any road. The little tracking place where she could hunt the track home. Way back in the hills. I went back there when I started in at 6 days. Of May 1946, I was walking around the house with my piano player. Her brother came up and said, Brother Branham, right up there at Madison with me. I said, I can't. I've got a patrol today. He said, oh, come on, go on with me. I said, no, I can't, sir. I've got to go to Henryville patrol with me. I said, come on in, wife. Got some dinner ready. It was about 12 o'clock. And I was rolling up my sleeves. He said, I was going around to wash in that little two-room place. He said, I said, would you go in with me? He said, no, thank you, brother. I said, Brother Brown, sir, come on. He said, no. He said, I said, well, he said, I'll see you later. I said, well, you going to church Sunday? He said, I'll see you church Sunday. I said, all right. I reached down and unbuckled the gun. That was buckled around. Before I was going in to lay my gun on the porch to watch. I had there. And just as I started under a maple tree, it seemed like the whole heaven broke up. There's some hope. I've been afraid of it. I tried all my life. I've wondered what it was. I turned white, fell back. He jumped out of his car and runs, said, Brother Branham, what's the matter? His wife went out with a pitcher of water, gave me a drink, said, are you fainted? And I said, no. I said, I'm all right. I said, seemed like every leaf on that tree fell on me. I said, I don't know what that is, Brother Branham. I said, it's followed me all the days of my life. And I said, I believe that being that people have told me it's the wrong thing. I said, I remember lots of times in the Bible that when the demons had to testify of the power of Christ, a lot of times the clergyman said, well, he's Beelzebub, he's this, that, and other. Demons said, we know who you are. You're the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. I've seen when Paul and Silas was up there, and he was from that little old fortune teller, when all them ministry up there said, oh, they're impostors. And that little fortune teller ran out and said, these are the men of God that tell the way of life. See, them demons recognize that gift in those men before sometimes religious teachers did. Now I said to my wife, I said, honey, call them up. Tell them I don't know when I'll ever be back to work again, for I am now going to find out what that is or die. I said, I've got about $23 left in the bank. And I'll write you a check. And I'm going to leave, and I shall never return until I find out what that is that's followed me all my days. One says this and one says that, but I'm going to find out what it is. And I took my Bible, the little Schofield Bible, about like that, and I put it under my arms, and I took off. Now I went and I read until nighttime. I got a cave I go into and read way back in the hill. But this is a little old log cabin where it used to trap. And I prayed, and I prayed. I was sitting there praying, holding my mind with a power that reaches and steers on in beyond the moon and stars and the falls. Gets a hold of God way in under somewhere. Sitting there meditating, speaking on God. It's getting along towards 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, I'll stay right here until I die. Until something. I'm a minister. And don't let me be deceived. If you want something for me to do, if it's something you wish to speak to me, you show me signs and wonders, and people have told me to forget about it, and I was eat too much supper or something like that. I said, but I want you to tell me, Father. If it's wrong, come down now and stop it from me. Shut it off so I'll never know no more about it. I said, have mercy, God. I cried till my eyes were swollen. I said, God, I'm sincere. I don't know what to do. I don't want to fail you. I've done all that I know how to do. But what is it you want me to do? And in there in prayer, all at once I seen a light flicker. I looked around and thought, well, here, somebody coming with a flashlight? Could be a car coming back in here. Well, where was that at? And I looked and it was spreading out on the floor and getting bigger. I said, where is it? Looked up and right up there hung this same thing that you see in this picture. Round, round, around that light getting bigger and bigger. I turned around and looked and I heard something going. Walking just there, just about like this cake. Never so hurried. Walking slow. I heard a footstep approaching, barefooted at that. And I looked, coming across the old board floor, I seen, under this light, what was coming down, I seen that it was a man's foot. I seen a white robe. And she said, imagine how you'd feel. I said, oh my. It looked like that. It walked closer, and when it come into the full light, it was a man. Had his hands folded like this. He weighed about 200 pounds, plenty dark complexion. Plenty more like a Mexican complexion, you know, like the Spanish or some dark complexion person. Blue face, no bigger. Had dark hair down to his shoulders. Had a white robe on, and his characters, you couldn't talk about it. One of them was so unique, and it looked like, again, if he could speak, it turned the world over. And he walked right up to me, just as smoothly. And I was wiping my fingers until it was bleeding almost. I was getting back, I couldn't get up. I promise, I was so scared, I just couldn't move. And you'd be too. The only thing, now just imagine sitting way out in the wilderness like that to yourself, and look around, and there stands beside of you like that. I was biting my fingers, and he just walked up to me and looked at me just as set it down in my back. He said, do not fear. And when he said that, I know that was the same voice. First time I'd seen him as a man. I'd seen him in that whirl of fire. I heard him in the whirlwind in the bush. And I'd seen all those things. And I'd heard him talk to me, show me visions. But when he spoke the first word, it's not imagination. It's the audible voice. Just as you hear mine. And the man's just as real as I'm standing here. Well, I could have shook hands with him if he'd raised his hand out. I could have patted him on the side. He's just as natural as anyone could be. And he looked at me. He said, do not fear. For I am sent from the presence of the Almighty God. than to tell you that your peculiar birth and life has been to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the people of the world. And said, now listen, if you'll be sincere when you pray and get the people to believe you, nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even the cancer. Now, just stop right there on that much of the next one. I'll tell you the rest just in a few minutes. He said, now I have appeared, in other words, from God, to tell you that your peculiar birth, which I had, that's my mother, okay, and peculiar life, that's right, no one ever understood me, has been to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the peoples of the world. Seventh grade education, school. How could I ever be the one? Local little Baptist preacher there in the city. He said, if you'll be sincere when you pray. Now remember, the gift was born here. I had nothing to do with it coming. No one, friends. Don't never let anyone deceive you. Gifts are sent from God alone. God alone is the foreknowledge. Now there's 9 spiritual gifts in the church. They might be on, like on this man tonight and on that one over there, so forth like that. But prophecy of that type and so forth has to have 2 or 3 witnesses to look over it and judge it and see if it's right or not. But you never seen them stand before Isaiah or Jeremiah or any of them to judge them. They had thus saith the Lord from their birth. And everybody knew that what they said come to pass. They had the word of the Lord. And in old times, divers places, God, sundry times, God spoke to us by the prophets. But in this last days, it spoke to us through Jesus Christ. And in the body of Christ dwell these 9 spiritual gifts, which brings any group of people, any gathering of holiness people that believe in Christ, has a right to have the 9 spiritual gifts. It circles through the body. It's in the body. It's not for any individual. It'll be on this one here tonight, and that on there the next night, maybe over here another time. This person can pray a prayer of faith tonight, maybe it's on this one over here the next night. Over on there, it's a gift that's in the body. Working around all of you, milling through the body, 9 spiritual gifts. This one might prophesy tonight. That's where we get trouble. One might prophesy and tell the truth. That doesn't make you a prophet. It might never come to you again. A prophet is a vindicated person from birth, coming down with the word of the Lord. A prophet, there's a difference in a prophet and a gift of prophecy. And if you notice in the Bible, healing is in plural. Gifts. G-I-F-T-S. Gifts of healing. But a P-R-O-P-H-E-T is a prophet. And there's a gift of prophecy which is in the church. It's to be judged by 2 or 3 judges when it's been given. Is that true? Oh, holiness church, we're so sharp of the things of God. Need real teaching what the church needs. How to set together and be mutual before God. What would the church day in the name of the holiness church ever stand before the Bible in the Bible life of the truth? You know what I mean? You get little things you argue about. That's right, and that's what makes you carnal. When you argue among one another. Forget it. By one spirit we're all baptized into one body. And it's your brother. Don't try to run him down. Pick him up if he's done wrong. Let's keep the body going. Now, one of these days, the body's going to come together just like that. That's right. Just like Solomon's temple cut out all the world, but when it come together, it wasn't a buzz of a saw or a sound of a hammer. It went right straight together ever. This cube went right to the right place. And there it fit together. That's the way the body of Christ will go when Jesus comes. He'll go up just arm in arm. That's right. To meet the law. Now, these gifts. Now, he said, if you'll get the people to believe you. Now watch, friends. See if you get the order. Now, you, mother, with the little boy here, and you, lady, and you along here that's sitting in these chairs, whatever's wrong with you. Now, get this. And all you people are sick in here. The gift is in God. And I can only say what he says, say. I can only do what he says do. Jesus passed by the pool of Bethesda. All those crippled, lame, and blind laying there, he healed one man that had an infirmity. He wasn't blind, neither was he crippled. Neither was he lame or halt. As far as I know, the Bible said he had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus healed him and turned around and walked away from them people who believed in divine healing. Is it the truth? If he, the Son of God, would turn and walk away from practically, I'd say, 10,000 people there, when the Bible said great multitudes, you know what it means. If he, with his compassionate heart, turned and walked away from them people and healed one man that was diseased in his body and went away from that whole multitude, then in question, the same chapter, John 5, the 19th verse, the Jews questioned him. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing in himself." Well, if the Son could do nothing in himself, how much less could the servant do in himself? See? I'd like to see everybody healed. I'd like to be able to say to this man in the wheelchair and this man and that man and there, get up and walk. Oh, God knows how I'd like to say that. Sure, I would. But what if I would say it just in myself? Why, they couldn't move. But then they say, well, he's a hypocrite. What is nothing to him? But if I ever tell you to get up, you get up. Or you're going to get up. That's one thing, sure. If it don't, you wouldn't mind. You might never leave the spot where you're at. That's right. Alive. Notice, you can only do what God shows you to do. Now watch. The gift is what God has set down. Now if he set in the form of a brass serpent or a pool of water or whatever it is, you believe not the water, not the serpent, but the gift of God. Is that right? The brass serpent could pray for nobody. Neither could the pool of water pray for anybody. But God sent Jesus to set it on high, give gifts back to man. And now, for God operates by the Holy Spirit through man. Man is God's agent. Now, quickly, before the time gets away, notice close. I have appeared to you, I put it in my own words. I was quoting his words. He said, "Fear not, for I am sent from the presence of God to tell you that you're pursuing your birth and life, to indicate that you're to take a gift of divine healing to the peoples of the world. You'll be sincere when you pray and get the people to believe you. Nothing shall stand before your prayer, not even the cancer." Now watch the order. God sent the gift nearly 40 years, by 40 years ago. It's been in the world ever since. This part. Now the thing I was to do was to pray for the sick and be sincere when I prayed. And nothing would stand before the prayer. If you can get the people to believe you. See the order now? See? The thing of it is, the thing is to get the people to believe that this is the truth. And I said to the angel, now you got that part, have you? The gift is not to the discernment. The gift is to pray for the sick and get them to believe you. You get what I mean? Nothing shall stand before the prayer, not even the cancer. That's just to pray for the sick and tell them. And now I'm going to pray for you. You believe? I believe with all my heart. And lay hands over on them and pray for them and ask the blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Pass them on. They're supposed to go away rejoicing, believing they're going to get well. The crippled supposed to believe they're going to walk. The blind supposed to believe they're going to see. Well, I said, they will not believe me because I'm uneducated. He said, as the prophet Moses was given two signs to prove that he was sent from God, so will you be given two signs to do before the people. In other words, to vindicate that I told you the truth. And he told me what they would see. Do these signs before the people. Now here is my condemnation before Almighty God, whom I stand before this night as a minister before one of the loveliest little groups of people I ever stood before. I say it from the depths of my heart, I am condemned the way I use it. Now that's right. One thing, I'm harming the people, so many of them. And another thing, I'm not obeying what he told me to do. It will discern and bring out anything there is in this building. Now that's true. But that don't heal the people. And as I take them one at a time, as they come up here, begin to tell them, talk to them, and so forth like that, tell them all about their diseases, never did one of the apostles do that. Never did Jesus do that. They did not do that. Yet the gift is here to do that. Now, here's what, if I could come here and produce that one time and prove that it is the truth, then every person in this building that's got any salvation at all ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, just lay your hands on me, brother, and pray. I'll get well. That's all I have to have. Now, isn't that right? Therefore, I could just meet great multitudes. But hundreds come to the meeting, go away, say, I didn't even get in the line. And I have tried him, say, pass the line to an Hessman. Well, he never discerned my faith. Well, you know what's wrong with you. You know what you've done in your life. Why should I come up here and reveal that to you and tell you the things that you've done in me? Well, you know what you've done. If you're a sinner, get right with God now. If you've done wrong, don't wait till the Holy Spirit has to call it out here for you on the platform. Get right with God right there and confess it. Then come on in the line and we'll stop the line. You just pray for the people and let them go on and they'll go on believing, getting well. Now listen, friends. I believe that before Almighty God, who I stand now, if I would walk from the building right now, the message that I have preached is justified in the sight of God. I believe it. For he has confirmed and performed everything that I declared that he would do. Is that right? Then, what I'm wondering now, why couldn't we have a prayer line and pray for about 100 or more of a night and not even have to stop and tell the people these things and discern all their diseases, hold them by the hands and work up their faith? Why don't you come on your own faith now, being that God has proved that he's here? Come on your own faith and go out of the building rejoicing and saying, thank God I'm healed. That's what he said do. Now, you think I'm telling the truth? Be honest in your heart. If you think the truth, raise your hand. That's the truth. I believe it, friend. Therefore, I believe 100 people each night or more could be prayed for. And dear brother, sister, being that I'm weak and tired, now, standing talking doesn't bother me. I could preach day in and out, it wouldn't bother me. That builds me up. But this other takes it out of me. I can bring 2 people before me now and stand here and hold them until their disease is gone. I'd be weaker than if I'd used a pick and shovel 8 hours today. God, who I stand before, no rest of me. It's something that just tears the life out of me. And I wonder if one of these nights, if God would permit, why couldn't we have a line like that? And let everybody come down and let me stand here. And if I were to stop, wait for one, I want to pray for you. Not just pass you through like we used to have the old fast line. We used to come through here, and people would stand me out there, let me pray for the sick against the weak or couldn't stand up. Then 2 men, one on one side, one on the other, hold me there, let the people come by and lay their hands on me. Hundreds of them were healed. But many times they come stagger through, said he never prayed for me. They were right. He said, if you'll be sincere when you pray, it's a prayer of faith that saves the sick. If you've got faith enough, you won't even have to come here. You can be healed where you're saved. But he told me if I would pray for the sick and get them to believe me, be sincere when I pray, that's what done the healing. Their belief that God had sent his gifts. Of course, he forbid me to take glory in it. I couldn't do that. And you know, friends, that no man, no flesh could glory before God. And what am I standing here for? What am I out in these meetings for? I'm working for Christ. I have a little church at home. The skies are living for me if I go back to it. Lovely. I could go fishing every day, preach twice a week. Could I get by with that? My soul would be haunted with bony hands reaching towards me. I must stay in the pulpit till I die. Woe unto me if I don't declare this counsel of God to the people. See, of this healing power. And he's here. Christ, the Son of God, is here to heal the sick and the needy. I want to read just a scripture for you. It's found over in Matthew, the 4th chapter. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which possessed the devil, and those which had the palsy and healed. Now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now remember, you believe he told the truth? Every case he healed, he seen the Father do it first. What about that? Is it the truth? If there's a great multitude healed, God showed him a great multitude healed. For he said with his own sacred lips, the Son can do nothing except what he sees the Father doing. Is that right? Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, in other words, I say unto you that the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That doeth the Son in my life. Whatever the Father has done. Now he's here. Now, just as I said that, I felt him move up. The gift that I'm speaking of now is right here to my right. Right in the second here somewhere. Now, that is true. I can feel it just as you can hear my voice. Hello. How this is different. I can feel my lips getting out. I can so that's that how clear that is here. Sometimes I look to the like I know it's anything. God is my judge. It's getting closer and closer. I'm right down to my side. It's here, here. As I've tried to be honest with you, I've done all that I know how to do. Let us believe. Why don't you believe in the Lord? Oh, my, what a great time it would be. Now, spirits of infirmity to leave the people, many would be blessed. This is a deep sincerity. Now, I'm not saying that it's blessed. Be here right now. And I believe this in my heart. If we call a prayer line, and the people come by and not even ask for this sermon, just say, Brother Branham, just stand back here and do as the angel told you to pray over me. I'm going away from this place to shout and thank God to heal me. I'm going to stay right with you. I'm going to stay there and I'm going to get well. I got a minister today, a couple days ago, told me, some lady come in here dying, laying on a cot. Just in the last day, you just need me. She said, when she saw from other cities, they had an awful time getting to me. Said, while I was preaching, I looked down at her and said, Sister, you can tell her the things of her life and what was wrong. I said, do you accept my word? No, she did. I said, go on. Jesus Christ is deceived. And now she's just glorifying God, pronounced well, going all around to the city. Many things. A while ago, if I hadn't been to see a lady who sent a telegram, a minister from Jamaica, someone. His wife is in the last stage and said that could you fly here at my expense right away? That you're the only hope that we have to come and help our wife through to God. Now when you get home, there's dozens of them. I'd get down over them and pray. I'd say, God, you know me. Show me where to go. Then I pick out wherever he tells me and away I go. Here, I just went in home not long ago and it was different. There's about 16 long distance airplane tickets and things put in from all over the country. Different places where I've been, this and that and come one. There's one on through and I said, honey, you know, I just come through to New York and just come back. And I said, well, there's a man there, a big television company, said if we come to Madison Square Garden, we need to put the thing on television for your daughter. That's right. Here we come here to New York. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity. So then when his mother is in need, this man. And so then I got back and the wife said, honey, look in here. He said, my, this place seems crowded. Everybody called. She said, let me call him. I said, well, honey, I know I've... She said, well, here's this and this and this and that and this and this and this and that. I got different ones from this California, this from Oregon, this from down in Florida, this from over here. And then she said, here's, you know, Arkansas, the mayor of the city there, it's like Brian Sanderson. I said, what did you say? Holy Spirit stuff. I said, go back through those again. Went back. Oh, it was bad weather. Ooh, just your early friends, know everywhere. And said, Mina, Arkansas, the mayor of the city, his wife, dying of cancer, calling for him. She belongs to the assembly of God. I said, just a moment, let me pray. He said, you've been trying for 4 or 5 days to get a hold of you. I said, let me go into my room. I went into the room and studied a little while. Holy Spirit said, me, go to me. They had the worst case I could have got. They had to drive through the car, through the hills and everything else, and the plane was snowbound. I said, the Lord tells me to go to Mina, came on the phone, telling him I'm on the road, stand over there and speak to me. They sent a special car. I got down there in the doctor and all up and said, room. Walked in the room where she was and laid hands on her. Said, the Lord Jesus sent me here that you might be healed. And she got right up and walked out of the building like that. She was in the where it was called revival, right, to break out in the country. She passed about a gallon and a half of water and puffs and about a half hour from that. Weeks later, I was in a meeting here. She sent her and said, I'm feeling fine, Brother Branham. This is how it's going to be. Why? Obedience. Now, each year, you believe, or if a prayer of faith was said over you, you get well. Do you believe it? How many prayers? Where's your prayer card, Sergeant? What number? One of the left. 100 of them now? I believe we can pray for 100 people right now. Don't you think so in the next? I said, in the next hour. Without having to learn. Just pray. I believe every minister in this building should pray with it. Look, friends, your minister has just as much right to pray. Now be ready. Now, you sure each one of you got your prayer card? Do you believe that if we just make a line here of people, all that whole number, the whole 100 line, and come right down through the line and let us just pray for you, I believe you get well. You go away from this platform tonight just rejoicing and saying, thank God for healing me. You go on out of the building and believe that with all your heart. I believe you write your testimony in within the space of a few days that you're perfectly well. Don't you believe that? How many would do that? Would go out of here? How many would make a committal to God right now and say, Lord, I believe if the things have been confirmed that this man has said, and I know that they are true as far as the discernment. Now, just shake yourself a little bit. Pinch your inside part. Wake up. What more could God do? What more could he do? He couldn't heal you against your faith no more than nothing, could he? And if you do believe him, you're healed anyhow. Is that right? It's your faith in God's word, and he can heal you. Now, don't disbelieve. Have faith in God. Do you believe him with all your heart? Now look. Now, that you might know the Holy Spirit, will you just be reverent, every one of you, just as reverent as you'd be for a few minutes? Just look this way. That you might know it. You say, well, I believe maybe the Holy Spirit's blessing the Lord is. It's right here. And I'm going to ask our Heavenly Father now if he will heal somebody in this building. Somebody that you could see that's actually healed. And let him show it to me. And you pray for your healing now. And let the Heavenly Father show it to me. And if he hears my voice, or the angel that talked with me said my thoughts in heaven was louder than my voice on earth. He knows what you're thinking about. And if God will just let me see one of you healed, and will confirm that to be so, will you believe with all your heart then that he's here and he's blessing his, that I'm not, remember, I'm not him. I just represent him. I'm his channel here. And remember this, he can move from me anytime he desires to. He goes at his will. God knows I love him, and I want him to always stay with me, for I love to work with his people. It's the greatest pleasure I ever had. But God, he has the right. I have nothing on him. He is the one who can lead me whenever he desires. Can't he? But I love him and want him to stay here, but he can lead whenever he wants to, but I trust that I'll have favor with him, and he'll grant his blessings to me. Now, let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I don't know any time in life. Well, I was in a prayer meeting of this type when I was any more sincere than I am just now. Well, Lord, you know I'm weak and I'm tired and the meeting is long and dragging out. And I feel, Lord, that it was right for me to stay here. Or if you would not have led me so, I would have left. No matter what was in the cost, I would have left. But I felt that you wanted me to stay. So I stayed, Father. And I tried to tell to the people, explain to them that you are the one that heals, that you've come to vindicate your servant, and let them know that it's not me, that it's you. You can take or give at your leisure. You're God and there's none other like you. And now, Father, answer the prayer of those sick people out there, someone, and show it to your servant that you put the blessing of healing upon them, that they are going to be healed, going to get well. And, Lord, it'll increase the faith of others. And let them know that you're still here with your servant. Will you hear my prayer, Father? In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen. I ever want just as reverent as you can be, and be in prayer. Do you really believe that what I've said is in the truth? Have faith, everyone. Now look this way and believe with all your heart that God has answered your prayer. Now will you believe me if he shows me? Now everyone there in here, you know that I believe he said this section here was wrote for the sick. This section here, I don't know. All right, you people riding this line in here, then look this way. Just believe with all your heart. That's it. I can't tell whether it's the lady here or the man. I believe it's you, sir, with the back trouble. All right. Will you obey me as God's servant and believe me? All right. I want you to get up and walk out the back of that tent and raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me, for your back trouble has rested. Walk out the back of the tent there and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Sister, you have a desire in your heart, don't you? I saw a little lady there sitting right back behind the lady here with there, and you with your finger up there. There's a desire in your heart for something, isn't it? Isn't it exactly a sickness or an affliction of some sort, isn't it? A deep, sincere crave for something. Is that true? Would you stand up just a moment? Is this lady here thinking so hard right in front of her? Yes, you. There's a lady in the back, a little young lady there. About. Look this way. Had to get above this lady right here because she's thinking about the little blind girl thing. And I'm trying my best to see. Yes. I see what it is, sir. All right. Now, you're a stranger, aren't you, sir? I don't know you, do I? But if God has revealed to me and showed me just exactly what you have need of, would you believe me? You've been barren, haven't you? Without children. You're desiring a child, isn't that right? May God grant you your desire. Do you believe that God will bless you? May God give you the baby that you desire. Now believe with all your heart. God will bless you. Have faith. Don't doubt. Now let's see back just a little piece farther. Everyone look at this. one right through here. I believe it's the lady with the white hat. Right there. With the white hat on. Right. No, it isn't. It's the lady right behind her with the brown suit on. Stand up, sister. Yes, you had cancer, didn't you? It's left you now. You can go on home rejoicing. The man right behind you, that patch over his ear, it's cancer too, isn't it, brother? Have faith in God, all right? God bless you. Go home, be healed up. God bless your nervousness and all his blessings. You remove those. Now down in this section here, see if there's any sick people in here. Look this way, everyone now, and have faith. Now I can only speak as the Holy Spirit says. There we go, rejoice. Let's say thank God. I'm not too sure just where it's coming from, but I believe it's the lady with the little girl in her arms. There's something wrong. It's you, isn't it, sister? Is it a female trouble that's bothering you? Is that right? Stand up on your feet. All right, you're healed now. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Just a moment, here's someone else. This lady sitting here with the black dot, white dotted dress on. She has female trouble too, don't you, sister? Raise up your heel now. God bless you. That's me. Okay. Now let's see the cripples. You crippled people, look this way and believe. Have faith. Does your voice seem better, sister? For the heart trouble? Yes, ma'am. It's going to be all right. You feel all right, sonny boy? You're going to be well now. Look at happy little Todd, how he is. Stand up, honey, so the people can see he's healed with heart trouble the other night. Laying there, he couldn't hold himself still. There he is. Healed with heart trouble. Bless his little heart. See the aged woman laying there. Look this way, lady. Poor old mother, gray-headed. Look this way now. Have faith. You're stranger, sister. Isn't that right? But you're suffering. You're bound with rheumatism. Is that right? Now look and believe. Do you believe this is the same spirit that told the woman at the well her sins and told her to go get her husband? Do you believe the spirit of Christ? You're a sinner yourself, lady. Isn't that right? You haven't given your life to Christ. If you give your heart to Christ, your rheumatism will leave you. Would you believe that with all your heart? And you move now and give your heart to Christ. I'd rise up from that thing and go out there in the building. You can walk. Go out in the Lord Jesus. Bless you. Look down this way, crippled, afflicted people. Brother, sitting here blind. These glasses on. Yeah, you. It's raising your hand. You believe with all your heart? You believe that God will make you whole? Will you accept my words as God's servant? You will? All right. I'm going to say to you, if you'll rise from there and exercise your faith, Jesus Christ will give you your sight. Stand up on your feet. Walk out the tent door over here. Go on, you can see. Walk off. Everyone reverend, please. Young man, you've been down for some time too, haven't you? You believe Jesus? Look, young man, you'll be bound to the chair as long as you live if you don't exercise faith and believe. Do you believe that now that you're sitting in his presence? You do? All right. I want you to rise up. In the name of Jesus Christ, you walk on out. You're not bound anymore over the power of hell. Bound. You believe? All your heart? What's your number?
Those with fast hearts from the key, start at one and line up according to your number. All of you that can line up, start at one and line up according to your number. We're starting with the key.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, believe God knows everything's in your heart? He knows all about you. I want the ministers to stand here at the end of the line. And if the people come off the platform right here, I want you to stand here and just tell them to praise the Lord as you leave the platform. How many Christians is going to join with us in prayer now? Now all you people stand here with prayer cards. Every one of you may be healed tonight. Will you now do what I tell you to do? Just a moment until we get... All right, brother. How you feeling now? Go right on out. Let me see your hand. You can see all right now. Move right on out. You got your sight. Go home and tell your people what great things Christ has done. Within the next few days, your sight will be just as normal and perfect as it can be. Go home rejoicing. How many of you are standing up right now? Raise your hand to this. Say, Lord God, I now commit myself to you. So help me, God. From this time on, I'm going to testify my healing regardless of what takes place. Oh, eternal God, bless these people who are blessed in thy name. May every person that crosses this platform leave the platform shouting, rejoicing, and happy. They've seen your works now for many, many days, some 15 days, and they know that you're here and know all the things of their hearts. Now, Lord, for the first time in my life, since you commissioned me to go and to pray for the sick, get the people to believe you, I start tonight in the name of Jesus Christ to getting the people to believe as I lay hands upon them, seeing that discerning each thought and heart takes so much time, Lord, many are waiting. I pray that you'll heal each one of them in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone, I'll be seated as not with prayer cards. Stand in the line and wait. All right. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I bless this sister for her healing in the name of Jesus Christ. You believe your sister? Go shout, go praise God, believe her healed. Oh, Jesus, Son of God, heal our dear sister for your glory in Jesus' name. That's right. Everyone, thank the Lord. Say, thank the Lord. If you leave here, saying you're healed now, this is going to be a sign whether the God wants me to do this or not. See? Now, everybody believe. Now, remember, as you come, as you believe, so shall it be unto you. How many know that truth? It's your touch that draws the virtue of God down. If you don't believe, don't come. If you believe, come right on and be healed. All Christians be in prayer now.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless you. I bless you.
Praise to God. A crippled man might walk me down through there. Oh, Friday girl just received her sight.